you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're traveling with Jesus, and we're going to the region of Caesarea Philippi. We call it Caesarea Philippi because the son Philip built it. And so there's a couple Caesareas, so the Caesarea Philippi. Where is it? It is north of the Sea of Galilee. So this is Gentile territory again. And they travel way up there. And Jesus is with his disciples, and he asks them an interesting question. Now keep in mind this theme of the hidden kingdom of God. This kingdom of heaven that is right in people's faces, and yet they can't see what's in plain sight. So Jesus asks his disciples this question. Who do people say the Son of Man is? The Son of Man comes from a term in the Old Testament. The Son of Man shall return, right? And he's going to do some wonderful, amazing things. So who is this Son of Man? Some say John the Baptist. Wait a minute, wasn't he already beheaded? He was. So why John the Baptist? Because Herod thought Jesus might be John the Baptist come back from the dead. So some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, because the Old Testament says Elijah's coming back. Some others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And all these people listed are prophets, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or at least one of the prophets. That's who people say Jesus is. Okay. These people, as close as they might be, don't really know who Jesus is. They just don't know. So Jesus asks another question. Who do you say that I am? Who do you think I am? And Peter replies. Peter speaks up. And he says, you are the Christ, or you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So Christ, Messiah, means the same thing, anointed one. This is the one that God has chosen to be the king, the son of David, the heir to the throne, who's going to bring back the kingdom of God. This is an amazing confession, but it's not the first time we've heard this. Remember the Canaanite woman? Son of David, have mercy on me. But the next part that Peter confesses is something we have not heard in Matthew's gospel. Son of the living God. Son of the living God. Remember, God is not a God of the dead, but of the living. What does that mean? Abraham died, Isaac died, all of this lineage, you know, these patriarchs, we call them, died. Jesus says this. But this is a God of the living. So although they may be dead, there's a part of them living. He's a God of the living. And Peter makes this confession about who Jesus is. Not only is he the king and the anointed one, but he is also the Son of God himself in the flesh. Finally, now we hear it. After all this work that Jesus has been doing, we finally get to who he is. Now next week, Pastor Evans is going to preach a little bit more, fleshing this out, because Peter's going to say something very different to what he says here. But that's just a preview, a precursor, so be here next week. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, Simon bar Jonah, bar just being son. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Nobody's revealed this to you except the Father who is in heaven. So here we have the confession of Peter. As we talked about in children's message, right? This homilegumena. God revealed it to him and it bounces out of his mouth. This is who Jesus is. So I just want to take a couple of seconds, or minutes, or hours, to talk about confession. This word confession. Often we hear it either, you know, when you're confessing to somebody that you did wrong, or we kind of think of it in the Roman Catholic sense, right? I go to confession, and I lay out the sins, and they tell me, you know, say this many Our Fathers and Hail Marys and things like that. In our church body, we have the historic practice of confession and absolution. And in fact, you were part of it today. You were part of it. I mean, it even tells you in your bulletin. Page one, way at the bottom, confession and absolution. Hey, look at that. I didn't sneak it in there. It was there the whole time. Thank you very much. Confession and absolution. We confessed our sins, and then there was absolution. There was a word from God to you that says, this day, today, right now, your sin is forgiven. A declaration. But let's talk about confession for a second. Why do we confess our sins? We confess our sins because the Word of God has been revealed to us. The law, as we call it. The law has been revealed to us, and it shows that no matter how hard you've been trying, as good as you've been wanting to be, you haven't been. You haven't. And neither have I. God the Father has revealed to us that we are all sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've fallen short of God's glory. This is God's word to us. And it is a good and holy and proper word. We need to hear this. That is part of our confession. And so when we are telling God, I, a poor, miserable sinner, it's because He has first revealed to us the fact that we are so depraved in thought, word, and deed. But that's not all that's been revealed to us in our confession. Also, we confess that our sin is forgiven. After confession follows absolution. It follows every time. When we confess our sins, absolution follows, and that's it. And by absolution, I mean your sin is forgiven. Bottom line, done. When the law reveals just how low we are in our sin, just how messed up we are and broken, we see the extreme mercy and grace from Jesus Christ. We have to have both. If there is no law and need for forgiveness, then we don't need God. And the further we see our debt, the greater we see God's forgiveness of that debt. These have to go together. And so today, it has been revealed to you, blessed are you, that your sin is forgiven in Jesus Christ. And this has not been shown to you by flesh and blood, but by your Father who is in heaven. We also retain the practice of private confession and absolution. It's in our hymnal. Flip to the page some other time. And the pastor asks an interesting question. Do you believe my forgiveness is God's forgiveness? Wait a minute, what? Well, you're a human being. Why do I even need you for something like that? Why do I need to go to a human being to receive forgiveness from God? Hold that thought. Hold that question. Get into this text. Jesus tells Peter, I tell you that you are Peter. This is a new name. People have not been called Peter before. Peter coming from the word Petros, meaning rock. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. It's a different word for rock that Jesus uses there. Petra, not Petros. But it's related. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We call this the keys. Right? And the pastoral office, we call it the office of the keys. Why? Because when you come to confession, you have somebody who will tell you directly to your face, your sins are forgiven, taking those keys of God, opening up all of heaven, all those gifts, and they pour out on you like a flood, forgiving you of everything, just as in baptism, just as in the Lord's Supper, just as in Jesus' work on the cross. But wait a minute, I don't need someone standing there between me and God getting in the way. You could think of it that way, I guess. But maybe think of it another way. Do you have to call your friend and gripe about what's going on? Oh, I got to call my friend. They're going to get in the way between me and God. I'm going to gripe. No, that's not what we do. Do you have to go to church, right? People might say this. I can be with God on my own. I don't have to go to church. Well, that's looking at it from a different angle, isn't it? What if we looked at it this way? Instead of being a have to, it's a get to. I get to go to church. And at church, God gives me all of His gifts all over again. Nothing I earned. Nothing God owes me. But it's the divine service of God coming again as if to wash my feet, as if to proclaim me cleansed, forgiven. So when we say about going to church, we say it's a get to. It's the same thing for confession and absolution. I'm not here to get in God's way. I am here so that you have somebody who will stand in front of your face and tell you, you are forgiven. Because that old sinful Adam does not want to let it go. He wants to drag you into hell by the foot, pulling you down. And there comes a point sometimes where we just can't do it by ourselves. And we have to hear those words physically echoing in our mind to know that we are forgiven. And Jesus says, the gates of Hades will not overcome it. They will not overcome this church. We confess together what has been revealed to us by God the Father, that although we are poor, miserable sinners, we are poor, miserable, forgiven sinners who have been changed by Christ. And even hell itself cannot overtake us. Satan has no power over you anymore because you are forgiven. The gates of hell will not prevail. Now, what happened to Peter? Here, Jesus warns the disciples not to tell anyone, but fast forward to chapter 28, the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, and he says, go. Now the time has come. Go into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And I will be with you always. What's the difference between that and now, where Jesus says, don't say anything? It's his death and his resurrection. This is the key. This is the center of the church. This is what our lives revolve around each and every single day, that we are forgiven in Jesus Christ and that not even the gates of hell can prevail against that. And so Peter, after this resurrection, in Acts chapter 2, he declares this amazing sermon about Jesus Christ. And eventually, as history teaches us, he's crucified upside down for proclaiming the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. It's his confession that he makes every day, all the way to the end. And these keys of the kingdom of God do not sit only in the hands of your pastor, or the pastoral office, I should say. That's a better way to put it. They're in your hands, too. Someone is telling you, they're calling you and griping to you about all these things that are happening in their life. You can give them this confession. And you don't have to do it by slamming them over the head. You idiot. They're already feeling that. They're feeling the weight of the law. Give them the gospel. Confess, you know, I know what it feels like. And I'm sorry you feel that way. I have something that really helps to get me through this. Even though it may seem like I may not get through it, somehow I do, by God's help. So if you ever want to talk to me about that, just let me know. Because I'm here for you. A simple way to use the keys, the kingdom of God. A simple confession of the gospel. It's not up to you to save people. You don't have the power to do it. But God does. Because this has been revealed to us by the Father who is in heaven. And as I said before, our confession and the very fact that we can say any of this stuff comes down to who Jesus is and what he has come to do. This hidden kingdom of God revealed in our King who was crucified for all to see and rises from the dead to conquer hell itself, kicking in the gates, walking through, proclaiming that it is finished and rising from the dead on the third day for you. So blessed are you, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but God the Father himself has revealed to you who this Son of God is. This Son of the living God is here for you, to forgive you, to be with you every step of the way. And that, like Peter, is our confession. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.